That would be nice. Of the committee would stifle anybody who disseminated and what you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost they didn't want the cat out of the bag, so to speak.
Oh, there's no doubt. When I went up there last year for hearings, I pointed out that one of the reasons things driving the so-called need for tolls is the fact that the $100 billion spending plan put forward by Governor Malloy, who it was never vetted. And Gary, by far, nothing in the entire history of the state comes close to spending that kind of amount of money. You would think somebody in the legislature would say, well, let's take a look at this proposal that's driving the need for tolls and see how realistic it is and what we're spending the most money on. But nobody did. And when I pointed out to the chair of the Transportation Committee, Senator Leone, who's still chair, he's one of the chairs of the Transportation Committee, he said, well, that wasn't really a plan. It was an aspirational list, is what he said. For your audience, aspirational list is a fancy way of calling it a wish list. It was pie in the sky. It was complete nonsense. And yet it was the basis for people screaming that we need tolls. And boy, if there's any doubt about that and how substantial the exaggeration was, it was that the current plan, the one that Governor Lamont is pushing, is only in quotes, $60 billion, $40 billion less than Governor Malloy and his aspirational list. And I still contend that much of that money in the $60 billion is way overstated as well. But you see, that's their method to their madness. They've got to convince people that there's such a dire need. We have to spend so much money that the gas taxes can't possibly take in enough. We need tolls.
Yeah, and I think, oh boy, there's just so much inaccurate information, Len, and the constituency is buying it hook, line, and sinker. One of the things I noticed at that hearing was the amount of people that were pro tolls and just so misinformed. Now you have your lower Fairfield County contingency that down, you know, that were represented and they had their stickers right on and because they know they listen, they're working in lower Fairfield County. They're not the middle class. Okay. And they are taking the train. They're taking Metro North into the city where right, let's face it, a lot of them work. And look at, hey, if they could shave 10 or 12 minutes off of their ride into New York City, oh, they're in favor for that, you know. And if they got to pay a few tolls along the way, listen, when you're making millions of dollars, what's a few tolls? I get it. However, they're not a true representation of the middle class that is predominantly, you know, most of Connecticut.
Yeah, and again, Gary, I point out that that's the part of Connecticut that will benefit most from the billions of dollars they want to spend on rail transportation improvements. That, as you just pointed out, would save them 20 minutes. So they're not even worried about paying the tolls because they're going to be riding the train. And, Gary, as I point out in my op-ed, all the money they earn in New York City is subject to taxes done in New York, and all the taxes they pay in New York are deducted against what they owe Connecticut. So they don't pay Connecticut anything for all the money they make in New York. We're subsidizing the rides of the highest income earners in the country, and they're not even paying taxes on the income they're earning in New York to Connecticut. They're paying it to New York. Is that stupid or what?
Well, and how about the union workers who were there? That we want our jobs. We want jobs. And it's like, you know, you're going to be paying these tolls as well. You know, they're looking out for their jobs, but, you know, they don't understand that what the state is doing is they're putting it in one pocket and taking it out of the other. There's going to, here's what I say to the people who want the jobs to be, you know, to install gantries and DOT projects. You're going to get it. No one is saying that we don't need our transportation infrastructure, you know, built up or refurbished. We agree on that. Where we disagree is how we're going to pay for it. When there's already a way, Faster CT has a plan. The Senate Republicans have a plan to pay for it without the implementation of tolls. You're still going to get the work. It's just not going to be paid for by the tolls. Well, what do you care for that? You care about protecting your job, not by the means in which the constituency will pay for it.
That's right. And it's very short-sighted because, of course, those jobs would just be temporary jobs. They're not going to be forever.
Right. But the tolls will last forever.
Oh, that's right. You know, once they're up, they aren't going to come down. The only reason why they came down in Connecticut in the first place was the federal government pretty much bribed us to do so. They offered us a significant increase in transportation subsidies to take the tolls down back in the 1980s after that horrendous accident that occurred in the tolls down in Stratford. And that was the history behind that. So it's rare that tolls do come down, but when the state was offered so much money to take them down, it couldn't turn that down. So now they're trying to figure a way to circumvent that and continue to get the federal money while at the same time reinstalling tolls. And that's what they're looking for, these little exceptions that are allowed under current federal transportation policy. That will allow them to continue getting the best of all worlds, to get the federal money and at the same time start taxing the poor citizens of Connecticut yet once again. And, of course, they exaggerate. One of the big arguments for tolls, Gary, you know, is, 30-40% are going to be paid for by out-of-state Connecticut. But there's all the studies that were done.
You only got about 30 seconds, Len. Go ahead.
By CDM Smith, none of them were ever higher than 25%. The government's saying 40%.
No, it's not 40%.
Yeah, not at all.
No.
So I hope your audience continues. You got to keep it up the fight because they'll try and get tolls passed with an emergency certification bill, which you can explain to your audience after I'm off, and it circumvents all the normal
the process.
Processes.
Yeah.
So keep vigilant, folks. Keep on top of this. I would encourage people to go no tolls Connecticut.org and sign up there and keep your legislators' feet in the fire.
We got to run. Thanks so much, Len. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. How about that, buddy?
Looking forward to it, Gary.
Same here, man. You have a good one. All right, we got to take a break. We're a little bit late. It's 9 in front of the hour of 8. Gary Byron coming right back.
Local issues, local talk. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9. The Brad Davis Radio Program on the Talk of Connecticut.
It's 1945 and the soldiers are back. Returning to a changed nation, six veterans discover the power of music to face the impossible and give America a new beat. From the Tony-winning choreographer of Hamilton comes a new American musical that critics call dazzling, exuberant, and astonishing. This show defies you not to be moved. Bandstand.
Coming to Waterbury's Palace Theater March 1st. For tickets, go to palacetheaterct.org.
Hey, it's Gary Byron. Join me this Saturday morning at 11 o'clock for the Catholic Cemetery Show. And don't forget to send any questions you have to ccawdrc@gmail.com. Hi, this is Gary Byron. Join me this Saturday morning at 11:30 for the Anthology Senior Living Show. And don't forget to send any questions you have to SimsburyAnthology@gmail.com.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Compassionate firefighters from Florida make the Dean's List for going above and beyond the call of duty to help a family in need. Captain Dennis Noble and Fireman Joe Clark and Dwayne Norman were just a few of the first responders who rushed to the rescue of a family of four whose minivan had run out of gas while driving to the hospital. Since one of the family members had been experiencing a medical emergency, paramedics treated them on site before transporting them to the hospital. However, the rest of the family was stranded at the side of the road with a deflated tire, an empty gas tank, and no money to fill it up. Dennis, Joe, and Dwayne took it upon themselves to push the minivan a quarter of a mile to the nearest gas station. Not only that, they paid to fill up the family's gas tank and fix the leaking tire. The Hernando County Fire Rescue later published a photo on social media of the good deed. Thank you, Dennis, Joe, and Dwayne, for doing your job so well and going the extra mile to help others. Janice Dean, Fox News.
In West Hartford, an accident, I-84 westbound before exit 44. Two lanes are blocked. It's stop-and-go traffic from exit 54. Stop-and-go traffic, I-84 eastbound, exit 39A to the 91 flyover due to the fog and the rain. Also, I-91 southbound, you're moving slow, exit 34 to 32. I'm Eddie Schaefer, Time Saver Traffic.
More rain expected for today, getting up near 45 degrees. Right now, it is 44 degrees in Meriden.
The Brad Davis Radio Program with Gary Byron, AM 1360, 610, 1470, and FM 103.3. We are the talk of Connecticut.
7:55. Good morning. It's Gary Byron at 5 in front of the hour of 8 o'clock. You know, Len, I love having Len Susio on. He's on every other Tuesday. He just gives it to you straight. And you know, that was the kind of legislator that I was. I told people. I went back to my constituents. I'd have coffee hours at a coffee shop. I would do town halls in our library community room. And by the way, I would hold them alone because the other legislators that represented a little portion of my district, whether it was my senator, who I got along with famously, actually, probably a lot more shocking, even though he's on the other side of the political aisle. I think a lot of people would be shocked on how well we were on the same page with things. But I did them alone. I didn't have a crutch. I didn't have anybody coming with me. I faced them. And listen, I gave people the good, the bad, the ugly, you know. And I asked for input, meaning that my vote was mostly predicated on my constituents, who I was there to represent. I think a lot of people lose sight of that, what their sentiment was. And I gave people the info. I actually would make copies of the bills. Not to everyone, of course. I couldn't do that. We couldn't get to every bill that but the controversial ones, because I wanted people to read more than just the headlines, because they can be so misleading. You'd read a headline, and it would sound like, oh, wow, who wouldn't support that? And then you read the bill, and you realize on page, 60, section 4, subsection II, it's terrible. Something in there that's detrimental that's terrible. That could really negatively impact someone's life, or well-being. Yeah, we're going to put, who doesn't want to put money to kids, to educate? Great. Yeah, you're right. Who would ever vote against something like that? That'd be political suicide. Completely agree. Until you read deep into the language of the bill. And you always hear this, folks. The devil is in the details. We're gonna take this money and we're gonna put it towards children and education. Yeah. But we're taking the money from senior citizens. It's like, no. You had a good bill there. Come on. These are people living on fixed incomes as it is. They can't even make ends meet. So then you vote against it. Okay? And then what happens? You're in a campaign and your opponent says, hey, this guy over here voted not to support children or took money away from education. And the constituency who pay no attention to the language of the bill go, he did that? He really voted against that? Yeah. But see, the damage is already done, because in the court of public opinion, you don't support children. Now, had you told everybody, if the public knew that, yeah, because it was taking money from senior citizens, a vulnerable sector of our population who live on fixed incomes, don't have the extra discretionary money. Well, of course I'm not going to take money from them. Has nothing to do with me not supporting children, or I have a child myself, or education. My wife is a teacher. My child goes to elementary school. Of course we want great schools. But come on, you don't fund it that way. Well, see, that information, my friends, that doesn't get out there. That's what I mean when I say people only read the headlines, or they only hear the soundbite. When you put on your local news, folks, they've only got about 30 seconds to maybe a minute and a half. There's 22 minutes to a newscast, okay? That's what a half an hour newscast, there's 22 minutes of on air. Then you got commercials. And by the way, then you got a sports. That's a few minutes. Then you got weather. That's a few minutes. So really, what are we talking about? 11 minutes, 12 minutes of news? You're only going to get a 30-second to a minute and a half story. They're not going to go into the details of the bill. All right? Let alone something that's you know, they'll cover the controversial bills, but maybe there's a lot that flies under the radar. I say it all the time. 8 o'clock, straight up. It is yours truly, your old buddy Gary Byron here. Coming up after the hour of 8, we got our...